Thank you, Jesus. Let's praise the Lord right now. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. Ain't no grave can keep our Lord. Amen. Some disciples were walking with Him. And He had promised them some things. And then He was crucified. Amen. They were disappointed and sad. Didn't recognize Him. Amen. But then when their eyes were open, they said, "My, didn't our hearts burn within us as He talked with us in the way." Amen. But they had placed Him in a tomb. And He came out of that tomb alive and well. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And our hearts still burn within us. And I'm not talking about heartburn where you need Rolaids. I'm talking about something deeper than that. I'm talking about something that just wells up on the inside. Amen. Makes you feel something that the world can't give and the world can't take away. Amen. Amen. I am going to be brief tonight, and because I realize we're working a lot of things into the service. But it's good to be here. But I would like to skim through the book of Acts, if we could, briefly. And I want to go from the back to the front. Amen. Amen. Read it backwards tonight. Hallelujah. The book of Acts is written by the physician Luke. And he wanted to give an accurate account of all that was going on. Now, ordinarily we start the first of a book. But we'll end up there tonight. Amen. After the book of Acts comes Romans, written by Paul, the apostle. Romans is written to a church, a group of people, who had had an experience that they found that was recorded in the book of Acts. Amen. A lot of people try to start in Romans, but they need to put it in reverse and go back to Acts and come back to Romans. Amen. Because there's a lot of great word in the book of Romans for people to maintain their walk with God and to rebuild their relationship with God. Come back to the way of God and get everything through believing and confessing and standing on the experience that God has given us in the church. Get all that rekindled and let the fire be lit again. But come back to the book of Acts to review what it takes in order to get started in your relationship with God. Of course, we all know the Word teaches us that it would be impossible for anybody to be saved without first believing. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a what? A rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Amen. The book of Acts ends up concerning people. And it especially is talking about Paul, who wrote the book of Romans. It says, Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came into him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concerned the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Now we back up a few scriptures and we find him stoned and left for dead. We find him shipwrecked. We find him handling a snake, not because he was going to a snake-handling church, but he was building a fire, and this viper, a poisonous viper, came out and fastened on his hand. But the Word of God through Jesus had said that you could handle those things and they wouldn't bite you. Now, we're not going to open up a box tonight and test that to see if it'll work or not, or that they wouldn't harm you. It did bite him, but it didn't harm him. Amen. There are a few people in the world who seemingly want to take that a little bit past where I'm willing to go. But in case you have the faith tonight, we did bring a couple of boxes. Brother Joe, would you bring them? They have a tendency to rattle a little over in the corner. Oh, they got loose. Here they come across the floor. What's that under your seat there, Sister Bradley? All right. But that, you know, You don't have to tempt God or test God or try to make sure God knows what He's talking about. But if you ever find yourself in a situation where, and by the way, people on the internet, don't take me serious. We don't have any snakes in here tonight. Well, the ones we do have may have two legs, but I don't even see them. So they're not here tonight even. Amen. Preach on. Amen. You don't have to push God to see if He can do what His Word says.
Amen.
In fact, if you try that, you just might get yourself hurt.
Yes.
But if you find yourself in a predicament and you're trusting God and living for God, it's possible that a miracle could take place in your life. And it could be a snake, it could be a gunshot, it could be a poison, it could be a plane falling out of the sky, it could be a storm coming your direction. All kinds of things could be about to happen to you, but if you're living for God, you've got a lot of protection plan that no insurance company can give you. Amen. You've got a lot of security that nothing in life can grant you. And if you're living for God, and if He's your friend, and you're serving Him, even if something does happen to you physically, and if you find yourself maybe not able to live a full life here, it's all right. Because the trust that we have and the confidence we have in God and this Jesus we preach, we know that death is only a shortcut to glory. Hallelujah. And we're not wanting to die, but we're not afraid of what's on the other side because we really truly do believe as we preach the kingdom of God, as we teach those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, that there is victory over death, hell, and the grave.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So that's what Paul went on preaching. Then he wrote a lot of books. A lot of books. The epistles and a lot of things you can read about how the church should conduct itself and some things we should not do and things that are orderly and things that are disorderly. And he cautioned I don't know when he got the ability to write a lot of this stuff because he spent a lot of time in dungeons and prisons and down in the muck and the mire of human waste and darkness with no electricity, which they didn't have anyhow, rats and crazy things. But yet he found time to instruct the churches. God can take any situation, I don't care how base and vile it is. If you're in His will, if you're trusting Him, He can use you for His glory. He can. Amen. I look at the life of Paul, I say, if he can do what he did, we're without excuse. There must be something that we can do to affect others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So let's back up and see what happens. Paul, after he was converted, his name had been Saul, and after he was converted, he was so sold on Jesus being God that he just wouldn't listen to anything else and he wouldn't teach anything else. It was Jesus because he had looked up. He had been persecuting people that believed on the name of Jesus. But he looked up when a voice spoke from heaven. It was the Lord speaking. Capital L-O-R-D. It was Jehovah speaking. It was Almighty God, the Spirit that made everything, speaking. And said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who are you, Lord? That's right. And the Lord spoke back. The Lord that he was trying to serve this Lord. The Lord that he was trying to religiously serve. Spoke back and told him something that just really floored him because he had stood and held the coats of those that had stoned people that preached Jesus. He had held their coats and consented to the death of Jesus' people. And here he was saying to God, who are you? Really, who are you? And the Lord God said, I am who? And if he wasn't already blind, that was enough to give him a stroke. Because he was an educated scholar, a religious man. He was, when Paul says, I was the chiefest of sinners, He's not meaning he was out here doing a lot of stuff that you may think of when you think of sinners. What he is really saying is, I was so religious and believing in God in such a wrong way, I was just as sinful as it can be because I had God all mixed up and he was not understood. And I was teaching him and consenting to things that were ungodly in my zeal, not according to knowledge. That's the kind of sinner he was. He was a sinner because he'd been trying to serve God and causing havoc to the church. But then when you learn who Jesus was, and you learn who God is through Jesus. See, you can't know God unless you know Jesus. You can't find God unless you find Jesus. You can't get to God unless you go through Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why everywhere you go, you find somebody standing at the door knocking. Nobody has seen God at any time. But if you want to see God, you're going to have to look into the face of Jesus. There's only going to be one sitting on the throne, and the almighty presence of the Creator will be everywhere. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's only one throne up in heaven. Now, Paul had an understanding of who the Father was because he had sat directly after his conversion at the feet, not of Gamaliel now, but at the feet of apostles such as Peter, James, John, and the early converts of the Jerusalem church and the church that was springing forth as the Lord had said it would, listening to the reports of people who had had revelation come their way. And he was understanding things that people seek to understand today. When he called on the Father, he knew something about the Father. He remembered the teaching, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. And there are scriptures that indicate that God is not a man that he should lie, but God is a spirit. Amen. And Jesus Christ manifested that spirit. Everywhere he went, he was able to say, when you've seen me, you've seen the one that sent me. I and my Father are one. Another way to say that is, I am in the spirit and the spirit's in me. When you've seen me, you see that spirit that's being manifested through me. When you have found me, you have found the God that sent me. When you have come to me, you have come to God. Hallelujah! There's no problem calling him the Son of God because that's exactly what he is. He's the Son of the Father. When he was kneeling at Gethsemane, he prayed to the Father. Hallelujah. But he wasn't kneeling before an old man with whiskers and a beard. And white hair. The Ancient of Days never gets old. We're the ones that get old. We're the ones that have hair that turns gray or turns loose. Hey, Brother Jamie, talking about old people. And here comes Brother Jamie. Amen. Amen. Good to see y'all tonight. Amen. So you're just in time to hear the best part of my sermon. And I was just about to say, if you know Jesus, Jesus knows you. And if you don't know Jesus, Jesus still knows you. And if you want Jesus, Jesus wants you. And if you don't want Jesus, Jesus still wants you. If you're serving Jesus, Jesus is serving you. If you're not serving Jesus, Jesus is still serving you. Amen. Because everywhere you go, you're going to find the protecting hand of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, making a way when there seems to be no way. You can be all mixed up in the world and the things of the world, and you can be all messed up in your mind and think, there's no hope for me. Well, you just try calling on the name of Jesus. You're going to find out He's been there all the time. When you are going through your darkest valley, when you are fighting against the church, when you were going against the people of God, when you were studying the Word and you didn't understand it, He was there. Who art thou, Lord? Who are you, Lord? Oh, God Almighty, who are you? Help me if you can. Find me if you know where I am. Lead me if I can grab hold of your hand. show me what I must do. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, that's what the Word's talking about when it says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, drunkard, harlot, bank robber, even you, God only knows what all you've been into. But as far as I'm concerned, you're perfect. I don't see any fault in the man, do you? So let's don't crucify him tonight. God's able to take a human being, turn him around. After He turned him upside down, you think, woe is me. There's no hope for me. No telling what Saul thought when God said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And no wonder he said to God, what would you have me to do? He was willing to do whatever it takes to please God. He had been willing to do whatever it takes to please God. Only he'd been killing people trying to please God. That's what they've been doing in Afghanistan this last few months. But they're trying to serve God in the wrong way. You don't kill people to serve God. Amen. You kill the old man, and I'm not talking about Brother Bradley. You have to deny the flesh. You have to put away that old you, the old nature. And see, this is something you can do. You can kill yourself and stay alive. You can die and yet live. There's hope beyond the flesh. There's hope beyond sinful living. There's hope beyond this death, this awful life, this veil of tears, this sorrow we go through, this helplessness, hopelessness, useless feeling that we have, frustrations, worries, doubts, and fears. Call on the name of the Lord, and He'll tell you what to do. Hallelujah. Glory. I know I don't have to yell. We're not at a football stadium, but there are people on the other side of the world trying to hear me tonight. Amen. So in Acts the 19th chapter, this man was so full of the zeal of Jesus Christ. Slow down, clock. I'm trying to get through. I wish I could make the sun sit still for just a second. He was so full of the zeal of God and had been so determined to please God that when he found out the truth about God, I suppose he felt like he owed God the same diligent, dedicated, focused service that he had offered God before he knew Jesus. So everywhere he went, he preached Jesus. Everywhere he went, he pointed people to Jesus. Notice when I read the last part of Acts, what did it say? It said that Paul went. Paul dwelt 2 whole years at his own hired house after all he'd gone through after his conversion, and received all that came into him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. When we first hear about Paul, he was trying to teach about God, but leave off the name. Leave off the child of God, the son of God, the virgin born baby that grew up and did things that people could not understand. As the brother said tonight, walked on the water, did the impossible, died and got up again. Amen. 19th chapter of Acts. It came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. These certain disciples are not disciples such as Peter, James, John. It was not that group. But these were disciples of John the Baptist. These were believers that had heard the preaching of John, who had told them to bring forth fruits worthy of repentance, and had gotten out in the water in the Jordan River and invited people to come and be baptized. Submit yourself unto God. Repent of your sins. And he only had a forerunner message to preach. He had that message that had limitations. Because Jesus hadn't yet died. Jesus hadn't yet been in the tomb. Jesus hadn't yet come back to life, hadn't ascended. The Holy Ghost hadn't been poured out upon all flesh yet. The name of Jesus in baptism hadn't been supplied yet. There were still a lot of things to go through. The only thing that John the Baptist was able to teach people about was, there's coming one after me who is preferred before me. And he's mightier than I. And I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose his shoe latches. He's coming. He's standing among you. And he was preaching, I'm just the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the path of the Lord. And all of a sudden, here comes this one that he recognized. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He recognized Jesus for just what he is. Only God can take away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. Only God can take away the sin of the world. When Jesus had healed the man who was sick of the palsy, and the people were confused because the man was lying there on his bed, and Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. They said, nobody can do that but God. Nobody. You can't do that unless you're God. So he said, then how is this now? Is it easier to forgive sins, or is it easier to say, get up off your bed and walk? And before they could answer him, he said, arise, take up your bed and walk. Uh-huh. And I suppose some of them said, well, I guess almost nobody can do things like that but God. Nobody can do this but God. What they didn't understand then, that was understood later by, I suppose, many of those who were part of that great Jerusalem revival. Amen. Many had been affected by the life of Christ. Many had been fed by Christ. Many had seen the miracles of Christ. Blinded eyes open, deaf ears unstopped. The dead raised to life again. And after the 120 that endured the storm of the people staring from the outside, thinking they're all drunk, wondering what's going on, when they came out of that room glowing with the power of the Holy Ghost in their life, in the upper room, amen, the same day, 3,000 souls were added to the church. 3,000. You wonder why they had such a big move of God back then? Well, I'll tell you. They had the real, literal Jesus Christ of Nazareth walking with them. Walking up to the blind man saying, open your eyes. And they had seen it for themselves. They had been witnesses of these events. They might have been too chicken to get in the room. It probably wouldn't have held them all anyhow. But they were waiting to see what's going to come out of that room. And when those Holy Ghost witnesses came out and said, it's for you, it's for you, it's for your children, it's for their children too, they also received the same thing that was received in the upper room. But in the 19th chapter of Acts, Paul, having come through this place, finding these disciples, he said to them these words, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They were believers. Because John had taught them about Jesus. They believed on the one that would come, Jesus. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? They said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him which should come after him. That's on Christ Jesus. Now, I have noticed that a lot of people still baptized with that same baptism. But I want to tell you something. That baptism died with John the Baptist. There's a greater baptism now. The baptism of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus will set you free from all the traditions of your past. And all the things that you thought were right concerning God, if you ever get this just right, that Holy Ghost will lead you into all truth. Thank the Lord with me right now. Hallelujah. These disciples of John had not been infiltrated with false doctrines like many today have. You can start talking to people on the street today and say, have you received the Holy Ghost since you accepted Christ as your Savior? Or since you believed? And they'll say, no, never heard of it, don't want to hear of it, and I won't listen to it if you tell me about it. Because I've already learned from my pastor, or my family, or my grandma, what I'm supposed to believe, and you're not going to change me, I'll believe this till I die. That's what they'll tell you. Amen. But they didn't have any good old Protestant grandmas and grandpas that died always this and always that back in those days. Everything was new then. The Holy Ghost had just been poured out. And a few people didn't quite know about it yet, but they were wanting to serve God, wanting to live for God. So the question came, have you received the Holy Ghost since you became a believer? Haven't heard so much as whether it's available. How were you baptized? Well, evidently baptism's important or the question wouldn't have been asked. They said the way John does it, unto repentance. Even Jesus was baptized by John in Jordan. That's not their words, but we know from reading the scriptures here that John baptized even Jesus in the Jordan. Then said Paul, John barely baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him. That's on Christ Jesus. How many people believe on Christ Jesus tonight? Raise your hand. Hallelujah. And we're not alone. Many people around the world believe on Jesus Christ. But there's something beyond believing. You need to go another step. Amen. Go on and do what these believers had done. They went to John, found out they needed to repent. John taught repentance, and they believed on Jesus and were baptized into repentance. But here they are meeting now with Paul. He said, there's still more for you to do. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Haven't heard whether to be a Holy Ghost. How are you baptized? John baptizes. Well, he taught that people should believe on him, which should come after him, on Jesus. Taught them they should believe on Jesus. Hey, a lot of churches are teaching that today. Thank God for every one of them. Thank God for John the Baptist teaching this. Thank God I believe this. Hallelujah. You can't serve God unless you believe on him. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of... And this is what Paul taught, by the way. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. What do you suppose? They met up with Paul, that's why. The one that said, who art thou, Lord? What will you have me to do? Oh, I'll do whatever it takes. Well, go around and teach everybody that I'm Jesus. How were you baptized? It doesn't matter how it was. It needs to end up finally being in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord tonight. Glory to God. I knew one lady that got baptized 19 times. And she told me all the different ways she got baptized. And what had happened, she had changed churches so many times that in order to get in the church, they wanted to baptize her into their assembly or into their little group. And even those people, she said, for the most part, taught her, you don't really have to do it, but it's a good act of faith, and we'd like for you to be baptized and shake the preacher's hand and join our fellowship. And so she told me all the ways that she had been baptized, and not one of them was in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I said, you hadn't been baptized yet. You just thought you'd been baptized 19 times. Just been in the water. Amen! She went to the water. The water was cold, chilled her body, and her soul didn't get set free. But when she went down in the name of the Lord Jesus, she came out saying, now I've been to the water. How then were you baptized? Under John's baptism. And so when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So don't get scared of that. That's even in the Bible. Hallelujah. Amen. In fact, it went from those days into the church, people started speaking in tongues so much in the early church that Paul had to write them a letter and say, hold back a little bit so somebody can understand what's going on around here. He said, somebody needs to talk in a way somebody can understand. If everybody comes together speaking in tongues, he said, how's anybody going to learn about Jesus? So there comes a time when we need to settle down and our spirit needs to be edified. Oh, you got times and places and ways where you can just enjoy yourself. But it's in order. It's in order. Because if it wasn't in order, we wouldn't have the first part of the book of Acts. For 120 of them received the Holy Ghost, and every one of them spoke in tongues at the same time. The Holy Ghost fell on them all, and they all began to speak in tongues. So it wasn't a matter of just two or three and then somebody interpreting, two or three more. And somebody. They all received it. And when Paul had gone out to this certain place, these disciples of John, and he baptized them, they all received the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. So there's something beyond just church order here. There is an experience that's accompanied by God taking control of your tongue. Hallelujah. And when Paul got to instructing his churches, from wherever he wrote, from whatever jail he was in, he said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. So don't be afraid of that. And we don't try to get people to speak in tongues. We don't teach people to speak in tongues. And we just let God work with people. It's kind of like a pair of shoes. You go to town to buy a pair of shoes. When you get home, you're going to find out the tongues come with them. You get the Holy Ghost, it's just part of the package. Hallelujah. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. So don't worry about that. Just get God in your life. Start seeking after Him. And don't hold your tongue back. People can jump, but they won't talk. People can wave their hands, but they won't talk. People can roll on the floor, but they're not going to talk. Some people are so stubborn because that tongue is an unruly member. It wants to say what it wants to say. It gossips, it complains, it's a backbiter. It'll chew you up, it'll cuss, it'll do all kinds of crazy things. And you just try to give it to God, and it's going to be a little devil right in your mouth. It's easier to jump and shout than it is to speak in tongues. Why? Because your tongue don't want to do it. Amen. But when you give that to God too, then you just, it's the last thing to go. It's kind of like, you know, it's the smallest member. It's such a small member, but it's kind of like what guides the ship. You know. Yeah, it's like one little tongue can cause a whole war to break out. One little tongue saying just a few words can cause a divorce. One little tongue saying just a few words on the witness stand can end you up in jail. One little tongue, amen, yielded to Jesus can put you on a street of gold, living forever praising God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Let's praise Him again. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to spend much more time in Acts. I'm trying to get through here. It's established that Paul was a man that got converted. 19th chapter. Let's look at the book of Acts, the 10th chapter. And briefly, we'll skim back to the beginning and now close. The 10th chapter of Acts. What happens here? Here's a group of people who are not Jews. The people in the upper room on the day of Pentecost were Jews. All the people that received the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost in the upper room, they were Jews. But in the 10th chapter, a certain man in Caesarea's name was Cornelius. And he was an Italian, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, gave much alms to the people, prayed to God always. He'd been a good deacon in most churches. He prayed, gave, especially the giving part. That makes you okay, you know, in a lot of places. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God. Now, you start hearing about somebody that gives, prays all the time, sees angels. You think, hey, that's really a child of God if there ever was one. But here's a man that needed more than what he had. He needed more. If he hadn't needed more, we wouldn't have this in the Bible. He was a believer. He was a praying believer. He was a God-loving believer. But there was a man on a roof somewhere else having a vision. And God was telling him, you need to go over there and tell Cornelius what he needs to do. Hallelujah. And during the vision that Cornelius had, God spoke to him through an angel and said, I have somebody prepared to tell you what you ought to do. This believing, praying, dedicated man that loved God with all his heart needed something more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Like Paul had said it, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe. It's good to accept Christ. It's good to make a profession. It's good to make a dedicated resolution stand and say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be a Christian. But there comes a time when you need the power to back it up. If you're going to be a Christian, let the Holy Ghost take control of your life. Hallelujah! I love my Christian friends around the world, even the ones that don't have the Holy Ghost who are trying to serve God. But I see them going through the struggles of not yielding and going as far as the Holy Ghost is able to take them. Why not just give it all to God? You can trust God. You can trust the presence of God in your life. He'll never let you down. He'll never hurt you. He'll never cause you to go the wrong direction. What you need if you want to be a real Christian is the Holy Ghost. And baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And that's Bible. 10th chapter of Acts. Cornelius saw visions. All this stuff happening to him. Calls his house together, family. Here comes Peter. And brings some witnesses with him because it's like something odd, strange going on here. These people are not like us. It's kind of like there was a little prejudice going on in those days. If you're not a Jew, it's not for you. That was the feeling. But these men went with Peter. Peter had had a vision, and these other people were going to see if it's true. It's like Peter had to take the deacon board and make sure it got the approval. Go down there to those, you know, they used to consider those people as dogs. Go down there to those Gentiles' house, see what's happening. Peter had a vision. God told him to go preach to these people. While he was preaching to these believing Gentiles, Peter tells Cornelius how he heard from God. Cornelius tells Peter how he heard from God. Then Peter preaches the message about Jesus dying and raising from the dead, and showing himself openly, and how that God raised him up, didn't show him to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God. And he said, and we ate with him after he rose from the dead, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify. It is he which is ordained to be of God, to be the judge of the quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Through his what? Through the name of Jesus. If you believe on him, you can receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell. I tell you what, you need to preach Jesus' name if you want to see the Holy Ghost fall. When you start preaching Jesus, you get the attention of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. While he was preaching to them about the Holy Ghost, about the name of Jesus, about Jesus' glory. Let's stand. If you don't stand, I may go all night. So I started at the end, so you know it's kind of more exciting this way. If I go backwards, it seems like I'm at the end. So I'm in the 10th chapter, and I'm going to end up real quickly. But I just want to make this point. While Peter spoke, the Holy Ghost fell on all which heard the word. There are probably other people there that didn't receive this experience. If they didn't, it's because they didn't hear what their neighbor heard, the person beside them. I can be speaking tonight right now to a multitude of people listening on the internet. Some will hear me, many won't. But every once in a while we get that little phone call or email, our little message, instant message that says, I heard the word, and I want to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The little lady just a few nights ago walked right up here and said, you know, I heard something in the message tonight. I think I need to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And Lord willing, if everything goes as planned, she'll do that tomorrow night. Amen. I wish you could come down here and ride over there with us. We'd just throw you in two. Two for the price of one. Yeah. I won't hold you down too long. Just, yeah. I'll bring you out while you're still bubbling. Amen. Amen. So while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all which heard the word. And the Jews that came with Peter were astonished because it fell on these people. And here's how they knew. Listen to this. Verse 45 and verse 46. For they heard them speak with tongues. What's that all about? These people that came with Peter were astonished because when the Gentiles had poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then verse 47, Peter said, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he said to them, if you want to, now it's not necessary, but if you want to, you can get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Is that what he said? No, it's not what he said. And he commanded them. There has to be a reason why the word commanded is used. He commanded them to be baptized in the what? What is that name? When Luke started writing the book of Acts, the first chapter, he said, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day which he was taken up after through the Holy Ghost, he had given commandments to the apostles which he had chosen, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of him 40 days, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, being assembled with them, commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together and asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said, it's not for you to know the time or the season which your Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You want the power of God in your life? Receive the Holy Ghost. It's available to you. Amen. Amen. And then Acts 2, the group of people waiting for the promise, and it happens. Amen. It happens. When the day of Pentecost fully comes, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared to them cloven tongues, like as a fire, set upon all of them, each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Not as somebody told them to go la, 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 but as the Spirit, as God gave them the ability to speak it. Amen. Then Acts 2, verse 37, Peter had just preached an astonishing message to all these people at Jerusalem listening, wanting to know what's going on. And when they heard it, they were pricked in the heart, said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Same question that Saul asked God when he was on the Damascus Road. What will you have me to do? When you ask that question to God, God will give you a solid answer. And it'll set you free. Hallelujah. And in response to that question, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even unto as many as the Lord our God shall call. And he went on down and said, so save yourselves. Nobody's going to do it for you. Save yourselves from this untoward, crooked generation. Save yourselves. How can I? What must I do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, get baptized in Jesus' name, get the Holy Ghost, then you're ready to start out being a Christian. Hallelujah. Glory to God, because you have the power. Let's praise Him again. Glory. I love you, Jesus. Now, Lord, one question I'd like to answer for many that have asked it through the years. So what about all those blessings you received before you got the Holy Ghost? Where did they come from? They came from God. Like I said in the early part of this message tonight, God loves you. Whether you're serving Him, or whether you're serving Him wrong, or not serving Him at all, He loves you. And when you call on Him in the midst of a car wreck, He's there to hear your prayer. Amen. There are scriptures that indicate God does not hear the prayer of sinners. But when you study that a little deeply, when you call on the name of the Lord, you're not a sinner anymore. There's an operation of faith going on in your life, and sin has to step back for a moment while you get the attention of the Almighty God. He that calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You start out calling on the name of the Lord and don't back up. You'll finally do whatever it takes because God will take you all the way. Praise God. Let's call on Him right now. Lord, we love You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love You, Jesus.